be reading out of the New King James Version. In Micah chapter 3, verse 1. Micah chapter 3, verse 1. And I said, "Hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice?"
Good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and truth and gather together and certainly open up God's Word and reflect on it. For this evening, we're going to be, and for this month, the book of the month will just be Micah. And we'll look at the minor prophet Micah for a couple lessons. And first thing we need to probably establish as we start to consider Micah is, where does he fall in relation to the timeline? You know, many of these prophets, you would think of them, I guess, as preachers in many ways, but they were prophets, they were spokes individuals for God. These individuals, a lot of times, they had very rough situations that they were preaching in terms of society, in terms of culture, in terms of what was going on in the nation. And certainly Micah finds himself in such a situation. Micah is a prophet. We remember that the Israelites come out of Egypt and they get into the promised land and they have a period of judges and then eventually they want kings. And Israel will be united under Saul, David, and Solomon. We have a united kingdom, as it were, Saul, David, Solomon, and then the kingdom will split. We'll have the northern kingdom and we'll have the southern kingdom. Israel and Judah, 10 and 2, and we have those groups of individuals. The northern kingdom never really has a good king. And as time goes on, God says he's going to use Assyria really as his discipline and rod, and he is going to really go after the northern kingdom. Of course, when Assyria comes, they also touch the south, and they surround King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah is going to pray, and Judah will be delivered for a period of time. But the southern kingdom, Micah is preaching really right in the time period where he is going to see probably these Assyrian armies. It's hard to match everything up, but we see some of the kings that he's involved with, and he was preaching during, working as a prophet during the time of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah definitely would have seen these Assyrians surround Jerusalem in the south, and God really delivering the south, but the northern kingdom of Israel is not going to be so lucky. So Micah is really right on the tail end of the northern kingdom. A nation, Israel, that has turned their back on God. Their morality has decayed. Their rulers have decayed. Their preachers, their religious leaders have decayed. The whole society is in a mess. And really, Micah is doing the best he can to try to turn the people, north or south. I believe Micah works with the north and the south. He's trying to work with these people and trying to turn their hearts and minds back to God. Micah certainly got a hard task on his hands. You know, I admire so many of these prophets of the Old Testament because many of them were preaching in very hard situations. Society was against them. Culture was against them. The world was against them, and yet they were faithful to God and His Word. And I think that's something that we have to keep in mind in our time. I have no idea what's going to happen with the United States. I pray that the United States will be prosperous and will stay faithful to God to some degree, but I think most of us, as we look around, will say a lot of things have changed in a short period of time. But this evening, as we look at Micah's situation, perhaps we would say, you know what, that might not match the United States exactly, but man, some of this sounds like some of the things that go on here. Micah is going to be preaching in a very hard situation. Micah's name, it means, "Who is like Jehovah?" Who is like Jehovah? And a lot of what Micah is doing is he is kind of going out to the people and say, try to remember our relationship with God. Remember how great God is. While these people are turning their backs on God, their morality has decayed, the leaders have decayed, the society has decayed, the religious leaders have decayed, and I'm sure that Micah was not received very well. Right before a nation is about to be wiped out, and we have a man who's doing his best to try to reach these individuals. In chapter 3, where I'd like to spend our time this evening, in Micah chapter 3, we're going to see that Micah goes after two groups. Of course, Micah is speaking for the Lord. He's going to go after two groups. He's going to go after the rulers of the day, and he's going to go after the religious leaders of the day. Micah is going to give us a snapshot of what this nation looks like and how far they have fallen. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, let's see what's said about the rulers of the day. It says, "And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob." It says, "And you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, fillet their skin from them, break their bones, chop them into pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Says, then you will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds." Micah is talking to the religious leaders, the heads of Jacob, the rulers of Israel. These individuals should be faithful to God. This in many ways is God's physical nation, and they should also be spiritual in nation. But he says, listen up, rulers of the day, here's a picture of what you're doing, here's a picture of what you're involved in, and it starts out there in verse 1 with a question. It says, is it not for you to know justice? The rulers of Israel should know justice. The rulers of Israel should know right and wrong. But we're going to see right here that Micah says, you don't know the difference really between right and wrong. It says you hate good and love evil. Maybe they know the difference, but really they just love evil and they hate good. This is what Micah is describing as the northern kingdom, Israel, what their rulers were like. They loved evil and they hated good. These individuals should know justice. You know, when you look back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Moses, before they go into Israel, he tells them what the rulers should be like. The rulers and kings of Israel, what should they be like? In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says this. This is Moses talking to them right before they go into the promised land. He says, "Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priest, the Levite, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of the law and the statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left." A ruler of Israel was supposed to have a copy of God's Word, the Old Testament, and you know what the leader was supposed to do? They were not only supposed to have that copy, but they were supposed to read it. They were not only supposed to have the copy, but they were supposed to read it. Why? So they would stay humble, so that they would know the difference between right and wrong, so that they would rule justly. These individuals in Micah's day, before the Assyrians are going to come in and wipe these people out, the rulers don't know God's Word. They love evil and hate good. They should know justice. They should know right and wrong, but they do not. I know in the United States we're blessed with many representatives. How many of our representatives know the Bible? How many of our representatives have a copy of the Bible? Many of them might have a copy. How many of them carry it with them and read it? This is what God's people in the Old Testament, that's what the rulers are supposed to do. And yet we see a decaying nation here right in front of Micah's eyes. And this has gone on for generation after generation. This is not a one generation problem. The people don't know the Bible. They don't know justice. They hate good and they love evil. You know, I think Isaiah was about the same time as Micah. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "Woe to you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I think Isaiah and Micah were working at the same time. I think they got to see similar things. They got to see in front of them God's people flip everything upside down. And sometimes I look in our nation, I see the same thing. Things that are evil are called good. Things that are good are called evil. And this is what Micah is dealing with. This is what he is preaching into. How rough are these leaders? We have a description. I think it's probably one of the harshest descriptions given. I personally don't know if it's really talking about cannibalism. I think it's just trying to give a very vivid description of what these rulers are doing to the people. They're taking advantage of them. They're taking everything from them. It's described as them filleting their skin. It's described as them chopping up their bones. The leaders are destroying the people. And they don't care. The rulers are destroying the people, and they don't care. When I read the Bible, and I look through the Old Testament, I look through the New Testament, I really believe that government goes through cycles. I think people go through cycles. A lot of times, I think people turn back to God when times are hard and times are difficult. And then as times of prosperity come, where people are rich, and their bellies are fed, and they have nice homes and nice things, they start turning away from God. And then morality starts to decay. And then all of a sudden you see this moral decay all around, and the nation really destroys itself because it's turned away from God. And many times the first sign of that, it starts with the leaders. These leaders are not helping the people. These leaders don't care for the people. And we see destruction. Well, what is a Christian to do in such a situation? What is a follower of God supposed to do? We're supposed to be faithful. Whatever nation we find ourselves in, whether a good government or a bad government, we are to be faithful to God. We are to be obedient to the government, Romans chapter 13. But faithful to God. Christians will fall into many different government situations, but our instructions, I believe, are the same. Be faithful to God. You know, this idea in verse 4, these rulers are so wicked, they are going to call out. And I think it's talking about when the Assyrians come. When the Assyrians come, the big bullies on the block come, they are going to cry out to God and ask for help. And what is God going to do in verse 4? It says He will not hear them. It reminds me a lot of Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2. I think these individuals work around the same time period. In Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear." It says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." Wait, Micah says these individuals are going to call out to God, and God's not going to hear them. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, it says these individuals are going to call out to God, and God's not going to hear them. Why? Because of their sin. Their sin has separated them from God. Their sin has put them in a place where they are not at peace with God. And what's sad is I think these individuals couldn't even see it many times. These rulers are described in many ways throughout Micah. In chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, "Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil in their beds, that morning light they practice it." It says these individuals, when they go to bed at night, they're not thinking about good things. You know what they're doing? Micah chapter 2 and verse 1. They're planning out evil, and then as soon as morning happens, you know what they do? They do that evil thing that they thought about all night long. In chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "For her rich men are full of violence, her inhabitants have spoken lies." Wait, a government that lies? You ever heard of that before? These rulers are no good. And Micah sees it. Micah is being the spokesman for God and telling them that these rulers are spoiled, they are bad. But I can tell you this, it wasn't just the rulers, it was also the religious leaders. If you go back to Micah chapter 3, the first four verses really talk about the leaders. It says the leaders don't know justice, they love evil and hate good, They're taking advantage of the people, and God says when basically I think Assyria comes, God's not going to hear them when they call out. But let's continue on in verses 5 through 7. Because it's not just the leaders. This corruption goes deep. It's not just the leaders. It's going deep. It's going from the leaders to the religious leaders, and it's going all the way down to the people. But look at verses 5 through 7. It says, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, to make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him who puts nothing in their mouth. Therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abased. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. You know, we start looking at the prophets now. We don't only have a problem with the rulers, but also the prophets as well. What do these prophets do? These prophets will preach peace when they're well fed. Look at it right there. It says in verse 5, it says, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who make the people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth. If you feed the prophets well, if you feed them well, if you give them money, if you give them what they want, you know what they'll say? They'll say, everything's at peace with God. Don't worry about Assyria. Don't worry about your conduct. Don't worry about your morality. Don't worry about changing your life. Everything's okay. We're at peace. As long as you feed me. As long as you feed me and my belly's full and I'm rich as a prophet, I'll tell you whatever you want to hear. That's what the prophets are doing. That's what the religious leaders are doing. There's no moral problem here. There's no worship problem here. There's nothing going wrong here at all as long as you feed the prophet. But as soon as you don't feed the prophet, it says, but to prepare war against them who puts nothing in their mouth. If you don't take care of the prophet, then all of a sudden, the prophet gets all up all of a sudden. The prophet doesn't preach that good, peaceful message anymore. Now all of a sudden, all these bad things are going to happen because you're not really giving the prophet what the prophet wants. These prophets that Micah is discussing, they might as well be prophets of Baal. These are not prophets of God. They're just preaching what the people want to hear. Just preaching exactly what they want to hear. And you know what? The time for these prophets, these preachers, is running out. Because Assyria will come, and when Assyria comes, I think they're going to be ashamed, and obviously they're not going to have any of these, they're not going to be able to do anything against it. I think they're going to be ashamed in many ways, because they were saying peace, peace, but really there was no peace. They're going to be ashamed. What a situation that Micah is dealing with. Talk about having the debt stacked against you. The rulers are against you. The religious leaders of the day are against you. I'm sure that Micah many days felt like he was on an island. And I think that's not much different than many of the prophets of the past in the Old Testament. I think many times they felt like they were all alone. I can tell you this, they weren't all alone, but many times they were not many that were serving the Lord the way that they should. Do you see corruption in our rulers in the United States? I know there's probably some good ones out there, but when you look at our rulers, what do you see? When you look at the religious leaders that are around us, what do you see? I can tell you what Micah saw. He saw corrupt leaders in the secular government, and he also saw corrupt leaders in the religious world. That's probably why Paul in the New Testament, when he was giving instructions to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul told the young preacher Timothy, he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap upon themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, exhort witches, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I got a job for you. Preach the word. Preach the word. You're going to be doing some convincing, some rebuking, some exhorting. And you know what, Timothy? I need you to do that because people are going to come along and they're not going to want the word of God anymore. They're going to want what they want to hear. Something that is in line with their own desires. Because they have itching ears. They'll find the teachers that they want to come in and just preach what they want to hear. And that's what's going on in Micah's day. You feed the prophet, they'll preach peace. You don't feed the prophet, they're going to make a message that's going to be hard on you. Chapter 3 and verse 11. I know we're looking at chapter 3. We looked at the rulers. We looked at these religious leaders. But chapter 11, I think, just kind of takes the cake. It really summarizes what's going on here. Chapter 3, verse 11. It says, your head judge for a bride. Her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet you lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. These individuals are morally corrupt to the core, and yet they still are saying God's with them. You know how many people say that God's with them? You go out to the world, everybody says God's with them. Oh yeah, God's with me. I know God. Well, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There's a lot of people that throw their hands up and say, God, God, God's on my side. I know God. You want to say you know God? 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We can know God by keeping His commandments. In fact, that's how we show that we love God. John chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. These people don't love God. They don't care about God. They're corrupt to the core. You start looking at that, it says, their heads judge for a bride. Well, you're not going to have justice if you're taking bribes. Their priests teach for pay. They don't care about preaching the truth. They just care about pay. I'll tell this story. It really hit me hard. But Sarah was at the library one time, and she was just there, and there was other parents there. It was like a kid's day at the library. And she heard this preacher talking over here, just to his wife and to another. She wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but it was just kind of a small room. They were all close to each other. And this one gentleman was there, and he's part of the denomination where they rotate preachers. And he knew that they were about to rotate him out of Parkersburg. And he said, from my wife Sarah, he said, you know what, I really don't want to leave Parkersburg area. So he says, I think I'm just going to switch denominations. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like preaching for pay. Or preaching for a good situation. if it's a better situation, if it's better pay, well, just sign me right up. I'm going to head that way. That's what these individuals are doing. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about what's right. They don't care about honor. They don't care about dignity. They don't care about doing what is right. They just want whatever's best for them. I'm trying to think about how to phrase this, but there's a lot of things that could happen to the church in the United States, and I plan to still be faithful. I don't know what the future holds. Maybe in a few years we'll be meeting in our houses again like the first century church did. I don't know. I don't pray for that. I don't desire that. But maybe down the road, I don't know. Stuff seems to be going pretty fast. If we fast forward 20, 50, 60 years, is it possible that the church might be meeting in their homes again? I can tell you this, I plan to be faithful. I don't care what the rulers are doing. I don't care what the religious rulers are doing. I'm going to be faithful to God. And that's why I like going to the Old Testament and looking at these individuals, because when you really understand their situation, many times they had it far rougher than us. Micah says, the rulers, look at them. Look at the religious leaders. It is horrible. You know what we need to do? We need to stay faithful to God. You know, leadership is a hard thing. And I think that sometimes the crime of leadership is doing nothing. And I fear that many times, as we see the situation getting harder and more challenging in the United States, as people are stepping away from spiritual leadership. They're stepping away from spiritual leadership because they know it's hard. They know what's coming. They can see some of the signs that we have around us. Now is the time for spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership in hard times. You know, when I look at the leaders in the Old Testament, almost every single one was reluctant. There are very few that jumped 100% on board. I look at Moses, I look at Gideon, I look at a lot of the judges. God's got a lot of reluctant leaders. And I tell you, we need leaders in hard times. I'm thankful for the leaders we have here at Sandyville. But I can tell you, the church is going through a lot of problems. And I think the church is going through a lot of problems because we know what's going on. We know we're in the battle zone. We know what's going on in our culture, and our society, and our world. And we need people that say, I'm going to be faithful no matter what. And I think that was what Michael was resolved to do. It was a hard situation, but he was resolved. And you know what? There are other people resolved as well. And we see that the Bible will refer to them as the remnant. These individuals that stayed faithful through all these hardships that the nation is about to go through, both north and south. Will we be faithful to God, even in hard situations? Will we do what God wants us to do? When the leadership goes wrong, will we stand and do what is right? Perhaps this evening you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Certainly there would be a lot of pressure for you to do otherwise. We just want to do what the Bible says. Become a New Testament Christian and serve faithfully until death. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you come, if you stand, as we sing.